In preparation for Sam's lesson this morning, I'll be reading from the first chapter of James, verses 12 through 15. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death.
Thank each one of you for your presence. I believe it's indicative of your desire to go to heaven above everything else. You know, as we journey here in life, we have a lot of things to do, and we need to look unto the God of heaven. And he's told us some several things in the Word of God. It's spoken of about 80 times, things that we need to do. And we'll just touch two or three of these this morning. I guess I should have flipped on the light as I came up. And the word accept is here. And as we go down through a list, we need to see some things that what the Bible says about accept. It's imperative that I do it. And so the Bible says, except ye be converted. What did Jesus say that for? When he held a little child in his hands, he says, except ye be converted. You know, like an old man like me, to be converted? What's he talking about? To be like a little child. He said, you'll not enter heaven unless you're converted. We have to make a change, in other words, what he's talking about. What do you find about a child that's good? You know, they're teachable. Sometimes us old guys, we don't pick up. I don't know the computer and stuff that you guys know, but a child is teachable. If I want to know something about a computer, I could talk to a child. And you know, they're perfect. When somebody sees someone, a baby just being born, a toddler, aren't they perfect? You couldn't expect for anything different. My mother and my daddy, as we were born, they'd count our number of fingers and toes and we had. They thought we was perfect. You know, because there was someone in church who just had a fingers on his elbow up here. And mother and daddy's always conscious of that. But you know, a child is perfect. They're humbled. And God has everything he wants within the child. And we have to become like that to have heaven someday. That looks like a kind of funny name, except you be afflicted. I'll read a passage or two from the Old Testament. Basically one. Whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in the selfsame day, he shall be caught up, cut off among his brethren. It says, on the 10th day of the 7th month, and that's the day of atonement, of where the high priest went into the most holy place once a year with blood for himself because of his sin and because of the congregation's sin. And when he came out and he did that before the cherubims where God was seating, God's presence was there, and he would get the blessing from God to go out and he blessed the people. But it says if you weren't afflicted that day, if you're just out having a merry time or you're doing work, no work is to be done on that seventh day, the 10th day, the three yearly feast that the children of Israel had, They were to observe, go back to Jerusalem, unless you afflict your souls, unless you sit down in ashes and have on sackcloth. You remember when Jonah had to go to Nineveh and told them they had to repent in 40 days or they'd be destroyed. Even the king, he took off his robe and everything. He got on sackcloth. That's about as cheap a clothes as you can find, and you sit down in ashes. You be sorry for what you've done. And when Jeff spoke this morning on his prayer, he said, being sorry, you know. And when last Sunday, when Trey spoke, or two Sundays ago, there's three words he said you ought to say, I'm sorry. We're sorry for the things that we've done. It's hard for us to take it back. And so we need to be afflicted, the Bible says. And it's on that seventh month and the tenth day of the month when they have all their sins forgiven. But you know, if you weren't afflicted on that day and you're doing some work and you was having a jolly time, you'd be cut off from God's people. First Corinthians, or Second Corinthians, the 7th chapter and verse 10, and it talks about having a godly sorrow worketh what? Repentance. It worketh repentance unto salvation. Except the Bible says ye repent. This tells us how we do repent. We're sorry for what we've done. Wish we had to done it. If we could take it back, make amends for, as Trace was speaking the other Sunday. Except you do these things, except you be converted, except you be afflicted, except you have godly sorrow, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And he said that in the fact that Herod had killed a bunch of the Galileans and had put their blood mingled with their sacrifices. And he says, except you repent, you'll be just like those people. And then he said, in the Galileans on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed 18 people, he said, you think they were the worst people on earth? And he said, no. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And that's a very strong word. It's imperative that I do it. And oftentimes it says the consequences are in that same verse. Except you repent, you'll always likewise perish. It talks about he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The same verse says he that believeth not shall be damned. The Bible is pretty strong about that. And except you do that, except a man be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus thought, well, how are you going to be born again? You know, you go in your mother's womb again? No. He says in the following verse, like in the third chapter, verse 3, and then verse 5 he talks about. Nicodemus says here, how are you going to be born again? And it says, except you be born of the water and the Spirit, you cannot be saved. And then he speaks about it again. Except you do this, except you do that. That's what it says over here in the 13th chapter of Acts. And verses 3 and verses 5. Except you repent. Except you be born again. Why would God put emphasis and have it over by inspiration and say it twice? Do you know the word of God? It's about 100 times the word repentance. We think about that as a New Testament thing. But 100 times, and 40 times in the Old Testament, except you repent. He told those people back then, except you repent. And now he tells us, except a man be born again. And the word baptism is found about 80 times in the New Testament. It's not an Old Testament terminology as such. It's a New Testament. I can hardly believe there'd be that many, but I looked up in the reference, and how important is it? It's mentioned here 2 times, but it's mentioned over here a lot more times. The Bible says, except you stay in the ship, you'll always like perish. You know what? There were 276 people in that boat or that ship. That'd be more than a canoe and all. But you know, even the largest ships sometimes, they're tossed about and back and forth. And it was that for these people here as they were going to Rome. And except the Lord keep the ship, except you stay in the ship. And that's what it is, the salvation ship. I've heard Brother Poor talk about, except you stay in the ship, the salvation ship, you'll not survive. Except the Lord keep the house. Except the Lord keep the city. Except the Lord keep the... And he mentioned that back in Psalms, the 127th chapter. Except the Lord build the house. You know, if the house isn't built by the Lord, it won't mount to anything. And he's talking about that spiritual house. We know that the tabernacle and the temple is there, and now the church. Except the Lord build the house. How many houses are worshipped in today that don't belong to the Lord? Except the Lord build the house. Except the Lord keep the city. The watchman waketh but in vain. You know the city of Jericho? You know they had guards on duty there. The Bible says, though, except the Lord keep the city, that man that's going to be the guard there might as well just go ahead and sleep, because he waketh in vain. You know the guard's not going to keep that city. And as the children of Israel went around it once every day. And then the seventh day they went around it 7 times. And the walls came down. The Lord didn't keep that city. You think about all the cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. You think about the time of the flood that destroyed all the cities, except the Lord keep the city. And that's what it speaks about in the Psalms, 127th chapter. Before I get too carried away. He says, except your righteousness. Except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you cannot enter heaven. You can't see heaven unless your righteousness exceeds that. He's telling us that we are righteous. That righteousness is right living, God's right living. Except you do more than the scribes and the Pharisees did. And when the scribes wrote out the law all day long, that's how they got paid by. They understood and they knew it and they wrote it down, but they didn't do it. Except your righteousness. So you read about them in the 25th chapter of Matthew, of all the corrupt things they did. They weighed the smaller things and did that and left off the weightier matters. They washed the sepulchers nice and white, but inside were dead men's bones, symbolic of the Pharisees and the Sadducees at that time. We'll cross off one thing that's spoken of and in Acts the 15th chapter. And he said there, or the Jews were saying something there in the very first verse of verse 1 of the 15th chapter of Acts. Except ye be circumcised after the law of Moses, and you obey or you work in the law of Moses, you cannot be saved. And that's what the Judaizers were saying. They were trying to discount these things over here in the New Testament. But it does mention that. And the people were saying that except you be circumcised. But as we know, that was crossed off. Circumcision is nothing. You do something to please God that way, you just forget all about it. And Thomas said something that was pretty strong one time when Jesus had raised from the dead and the disciples were there and they told Thomas that Christ had risen. And Christ says, no. He said, except I see the print in his hand and I put my finger in that print. He wanted to actually feel the Lord, to believe in the Lord. Except I put my finger in that print and thrust my hand in his side where his side was opened up and water and blood came out. Except I see that. And the Bible says, except, you know. That's what that Thomas was talking about. Except I see his finger or his hand. Of course, they were healed at that time, but anyway, Jesus had been on the earth for about 40 days. Thomas didn't want to believe, except I put my finger into his hands. And then the Bible says, because you've seen, Thomas, you believe, but blessed are they that have not seen. We haven't seen Christ, and we still believe. And Jesus said, that's where the blessing is. You don't. That's where faith comes in. And we need to understand that. Jesus said, except ye abide in me, ye cannot bear fruit. Except ye abide in Christ. You know, he's the stream of our life and our energy. Except ye abide in Christ. Except you today abide in Christ. You can't bear any good fruit. He talked about when the branches were cut off and they began to wither and men threw them in the fire. But you know, at the same time, when it's cut off, there's no nutrition. And when we don't attend and worship the God of heaven like we ought to, there's not the nutrition and the strength that we need when we're in Christ Jesus. Our neighbor was helping someone else, digging post holes, and he got caught in the power takeoff shaft. It tore his arm off completely. They rushed him to the hospital in Lebanon. But you know, when that arm was cut off completely, and they carried that arm there, and one of the last things he said, make sure you put my arm back on. He woke up from surgery. He felt over there and there was no arm. And he began to get angry. They said they couldn't attach it. You know, there's people sometimes that get so far away from Christ. They need to do some repentance and praying to God that they might be attached again. And God provides for that. But that's an illustration that we need to understand. The Bible talks about, except ye abide in me, except ye abide in me, ye cannot be saved. And that's pretty strong language. And how many of the people of the world do not abide in Jesus Christ? It talks about the 12, that they were all scattered abroad except the apostles. The early persecution of the church in the Acts the 8th chapter talks about the persecution And all of them were scattered except the apostles. And we read later that the apostles' doctrine that they were following in that, that was where the binding part was, that taught to the world. Jesus didn't preach the gospel as such, because the gospel was the death and the burial of Jesus Christ. But his apostles did, and that's where we have life, and we have it more abundantly. Whosoever shall put away with his wife, except it be for adultery. Matthew 19 and verse 9 is another verse that speaks about it. Here's a kind of good verse that you find in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. Except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what's spoken? And that was in a time when they had tongues, and they spoke in tongues. And some people had interpretation of tongues, and the nine spiritual gifts that they did have, they practiced that, and they showed to the world, here's Christ, and here's the wonders and the gifts that followed him up. And people speak today and say, except I speak in tongues. They talk about speaking in tongues, but the Bible says that that's going to end. There's no more speaking in tongues. And when people talk like that, our neighbor talked like that. She said, you know, I knew when I was saved because I could talk in a tongue. But the Bible says that the tongue shall be disappeared. So people think of a lot of different things along that line. I guess that's my lesson. A word that's found in the Bible over 80 times, except you do some certain things, except your righteousness, except you abide in me, ye shall all die in your sins. Christ came to save us from our sins, but if you don't abide in Christ, you don't have any sin protection. Thomas thought he had to put his finger, and that was physical touching. And you know, the Bible talks about this, except you stay in the ship, the salvation ship. Be thou faithful to death, and I'll give you the crown of life. Except you're born again, except your repentance and godly sorrow and being afflicted. Now, I don't think too many people are afflicted today when they've done something wrong. But on that day of the third yearly feast, the Day of Atonement, when the priest, high priest, went in, he came out and he blessed the people and told them that their sins were forgiven, basically. But if you hadn't afflicted your soul, if you hadn't gotten down and felt sorry for what you've done, and your conscience wasn't bearing on you, and you knew that you had been cruel to someone or told lies and stuff like that, except you stay in the ship, except the Lord keep the city, except the Lord keep the house, they labor in vain. And that's our lesson today. Kind of short and sweet in a sense, but the word accept means a whole lot. Except you obey the gospel, you'll not be saved. And when we know about the fact that we need to hear and that we need to believe, that we need to repent, that we need to confess him as our Savior. You know what the Bible, whosoever will not confess me, I'll not confess him before my Father. So there's a lot of things we have to do, the hearing. We have a job to do. We have repentance to do. And then we need to be baptized in Jesus Christ. That opportunity is open every time we worship here at Gadsden. That's open today even as we stand and as we sing the invitation number. Brother Allen.